I was given a message about 4 weeks ago. God wanted me to bring to you guys, and first I was excited. I learned that when you serve God, it pleases Him, and I want to please my God. But when He gave me the message, it was like Amos. Anybody know who Amos is? Or Elijah? When you have to give a message that kind of ain't the most happiest of messages, but God says, bring it, I'm going to bring it. You brought of vipers, you hypocrites, you snakes. We all know who said that, don't we? Jesus said that, didn't He? See, a lot of times we want to think of Jesus as being that kind and humble and healing and loving God. But God, He's also a righteous God. He's a righteous God. There was a scribe who happened to be a Pharisee. And he was teaching a class one day, and he was teaching the little children. And just before they finished the class, he said, I got one question before we leave today. He said, how do you get to heaven? Can anybody, any of you little children here, tell me how do you get to heaven? And he was going around the class, and each child was giving their own answer. And it came to the last little girl in class, and she was smiling, and she was beaming from ear to ear. And he said, Susie, how do you think you're going to get to heaven? And she said, well, I'll just, when I get to the front gate, I'll yell for Jonah. Jonah will tell me how to get it in heaven. So the scribe, he looked at her and he said, but what if Jonah's in hell? What are you going to do if Jonah's in hell? She said, then you can ask him. We know that when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and the scribes, sometimes He wasn't very nice to them. We're going to learn today why. We're going to learn today who the Pharisees and who the scribes were. See, the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders of the Jews. The bad thing with the Pharisees is they emphasized the exact keeping of the word, which is great, except for it was how they interpreted it. Have you ever heard people today take God's word and they interpret it to fit their lifestyle? They do something and they want to say, well, God said this. They won't read the whole chapter. The Pharisees believed that the future rewards and the future punishments was dictated by works, by what you did. Look at what I'm doing. I'm done better than you. Look at everything I've done. What have you done? They pretend to be holy people. They pretend to be holier than anybody else. You ever met people like that? They pretended to care. And in truth, if you knew anything about the Pharisees, they cared a lot about their own people. And if you weren't following the law exactly what they said, you were low, lower than they were low. They pretend to be child of God. They pretend to obey God, but in turn, they obeyed when it was convenient for them, and they obeyed how they interpreted it. That's what they obeyed. But they did that out in public. You know, anybody in your life or maybe in your town or your work, they're two different people. They're one people when you see them out in the street, and they're different people at home. That's what the Pharisees were. If you'd go inside their homes, you'd see gold, beautiful homes, beautiful, while the people around them were poor and desolate and had nothing. They had added over 400 more laws onto the law of God. 400. It was precise. How many people, how many of us sometimes will add a little thing onto the Word of God? Add a little tidbit. How much has the church changed today than it was when you were a child? I remember when I was younger, my sister couldn't have dresses that were to here. Now you see dresses that are here. Or you see words across the chest. Or lipstick. She wasn't even allowed to wear makeup. Satan is so patient. He knows that you won't allow this right now, but you'll allow this. The Pharisees, they were the same way. They went from being heroes in the Old Testament to hated in the New Testament. See, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites and God's people would screw up like we do today, and God would allow them to be punished or to be taken over or be put in slavery, the scribes were, they would keep people rooted on God's word. They would keep people focused and praying and waiting for that Savior, waiting for that time when God's going to come and save them. But then in the New Testament, they became the people that were judging the Israelites, that were damning the Israelites. Their head got bigger than their body. You know anybody like that? I've been like that quite a few times. I kind of wish I had a little valve here. I know my wife does. See, you weren't supposed to be here. See, you're supposed to do children's church, though. So. Anyway, I gotta watch what I say now. Anyway, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, they added so much little tidbits onto it, like a lot of pastors do today, or a lot of deacons do today, or leaders do today, or even we do today. They want to focus God's word around their life, not the other way around. They want to mold God's word around what they're doing today, where they're at today. They walk with their head up high. That's what the Pharisees did. See, they had people that were focused on their laws, not on God's. I looked up the word Pharisee in the dictionary. This is the Webster's New Dictionary. It says the Pharisee is a very righteous or hypocritical person. Righteous means what they say is right. Have you ever heard the word, when God's righteousness, that means what God says is right. If man's righteousness is what man says is right. And that's where the word hypocrite came. They were like the early actors. They would pretend to be somebody they weren't, just to entertain other people. But see, the Pharisees a lot of times walked around all the time like that. They weren't who they said they were. In fact, the name Pharisee in the Hebrew means separatist or the separated ones. And they sure were. They were also known as a chasidim, which means loyal to God or loved by God. You talk about water and oil. You talk about oxymoron. They were supposed to be loved by God and loyal to God, and yet when Jesus was in their midst and they seen the miracles, they heard what Jesus was saying, they became his most hated enemy. They wanted to take Jesus down because Jesus was interrupting their way of life. How many times do we have people sometimes that step on our toes, that gets in our way of life? We want no part of it. Well, she said this. I just ain't going to pay attention to her. Wait a minute. Maybe I'll just delete her from my Facebook. I just won't call her because what she said was wrong. Now, let's talk about the scribes. The scribes were the more educated religious people in Jesus' time. Anyone who wished to become a scribe had to first be recommended by another scribe, but two, had to be recommended by the town elder or the town leader. You had to have been well-versed, well-knowledged, word-for-word of God's law and the Pharisees' law by the age 14. I don't know if that would happen today, if they would have the Facebook and Yahoo and all that. I don't know if they could do that. But back then, they were devoted to learn the Word of God. They wanted so much that by the age of 14, they knew word for word. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time remembering what I learned, what I heard last Sunday. They spent years and years, once they were brought into the scribe teaching, years and years being mentored by a scribe, sometimes more than one, two, three, or four, years until they reached the age of 40. And those years, between 14 and 40, they were indoctrinated, some people would say brainwashed, into how you should talk, what you should say, until it was just right. And then, boom, you became the scribe. You would walk around, and you could tell, because they would have the white robes the gold tassels, with their head up high, 20, sometimes 30 wannabe scribes following along, and the people respected them to the point where when they would walk by, the people would stand up out of respect. In the Old Testament, the scribes wrote the law. When they got down into the New Testament times, not only did they write the law, they also helped settle disputes. They wrote up legal documents. They were the person you went to see if you had anything legal that you needed to take care of. Now you add those two together, and you've got a recipe for disaster. Let's see what Jesus says about the scribes and Pharisees. Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 15. Don't ever take my word for it. Always, always back up what you hear from the Word of God. When you get on the Word of God, like I'm going to do now, you say a prayer, you ask God to open up your heart to what you're going to read, and ask God to open up your feet to do it. If you all bow your heads, please, let's open with the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you did today. We thank you, Lord, that you are alive. Lord, you created us for your pleasure. You created us, Lord, to love us and for us to love you. And I humbly come before you today and ask for an apology. Sometimes we haven't did that, Lord. Sometimes we focus on things that are not of you. Today I ask, please, in the name of your son Jesus, that you open up our hearts, Lord, and toes get stepped on, Lord. You do it because you love us. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, let's read 1 through 20. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered, saying to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Why did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but in their heart they're far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' When he had called the multitude to himself, he said, 'Hear me and understand.'" That's what I'm saying today. Hear me and understand. "Now what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Let me reread that. I got that wrong. "Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. That's what defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." Oh my goodness. "Every plant that he has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Sorry, Rodney. No offense, buddy. No offense. "Then Peter answered and said, 'Explain this to us.' And Jesus said, 'Are you still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornicators, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Jesus says what you put into your body, it's going to be eliminated. But what comes out, think about it. How many times we go to church and we hear the Word of God? It goes into the body. But what comes out is what makes you who you are. Whether you take that Word of God and share it, whether you take that Word of God and be that light, whether you take that Word of God and be the salt, That's what makes you the person you are. They were on traditions. To this day, there's churches that have traditions. You can't do this. You can't do that. If God says it, take it to the bank. Keep there in Matthew. Turn to chapter 23. I think it's, oh my goodness, it's so exciting to know that you open up the Bible and you have the red letters and you know that those words came from Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. They came from Him, not from man. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1. Guys, we're going to get into God's Word today because I want us to understand that God loves us so much, but without this inside of us, we're nothing. We're just as bad as the Pharisees and the scribes. We will live by our law and not God's. Amen? Matthew chapter 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, Jesus was up there preaching to each one, and he said, listen up. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to the works that they say and they do not. Watch what they do. I told my son the other day, we were talking about the next upcoming election. He says, we were talking about a couple people, and he says, who should I vote for if I was 18? And I said, do not vote for what they say. Look at what they've done. Look at how they voted. Look, that's going to tell you the person they are. Because that's your fruits. That is your fruits. You can say all day long that you're a cow, but if you can't moo, you're not a cow. Amen? Let's continue. For they bind heavy burdens, verse 4, hard to bear, lay on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move one with one of their fingers, but all the works that they do, it's seen by man. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by man, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, He who is in heaven. Amen? Do not be called teacher, for the one that is the teacher is Jesus Christ. But he is the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for neither go into it yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows, their houses, and for a pretense, you make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive the greater condemnation. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look at me. Who should we be exalting? How many times do we exalt ourselves? It's nice, isn't it? It's nice for people to look up to you and look at you. But if they're looking at something dirty, do you really want them to look at you? Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on the altar is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gift of the altar and that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. He who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Boy, Jesus has got a lot to say, doesn't he? Where's that kind, loving God at? I think when he says this, he is a kind, loving God, is he not? He's their only salvation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you paid tithe of mint, anise, cummings, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Thus you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. The people around them, they just needed love. They needed mercy. They needed someone to be there for them. They needed an example. They needed someone to say, let me help you. Let me take care of you. Not give me your money. Do what I say. Next. How many of us today are entangled with the world? How many of us today, seriously, by the time your day is over, nothing was accomplished? You ever say that? Where'd the day go? Have you ever looked back and said, did I do anything today that was profitable? Not to me, to God. What can you take to heaven with you? What you do for God and other people. That's it. All the gold. You can have $1 million, but it ain't going to buy you an extra hour, is it? I get humbled because when he first told me to come up here, I was, oh my goodness, I was so excited. I'm not one to step on toes, but I got to do what my God says. Sometimes we need our toes stepped on. Amen? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness. For you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build tombs of the prophets and adorn monuments of the righteous. And you say, if we have lived in those days, we would not have been partakers of the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are a witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your father's guilt. When we leave this church today, for those that are truly born again, when you walk out of this church, you're a walking billboard for Jesus Christ. Look at me. We should have a sign on our back that says, watch what I do, listen to what I say. I am an imitation of Jesus Christ. Are we not? It's sad because some of us, I'm the front of the line. We open up our Bible on Sunday. We feel righteous for the hour we're here. We feel even righteous maybe for the extra hour after we leave and go have lunch or something together. But then once we get home, it's back to the same old, same old. And if we're not doing something for Christ, if we're not doing something for other people, then shame on us. Look at verse 23-34. Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from the city to city. Jesus was saying, the scribes weren't bad. What they were doing was bad. I sent them, the scribes, who knew the law, to reach out. They're not bad. It's what they're doing is bad. Now turn your Bibles to the same book. Turn it over to chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus ain't playing around. He says if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees that you just heard today, you won't go to heaven. And I want to say, I'm glad. Do you want to be in heaven with scribes and the Pharisees? That's not heaven to me. I know when I get there, I'm going to see God and I'm going to see love. I'm going to see everything that I want to see here. I told a dear friend the other day, I said, I can't wait for him to come. I feel like Paul. I want him to come now. And I know it's selfish because there's so many lost people out there. There's so many people out there, even the Christians, that need some love, that need some counsel, that needs a helping hand, that needs someone to listen. And like the Bible says, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Guys, there's few of us here. And it's sad sometimes when churches need a Sunday school teacher, an Awana teacher, or volunteers to help out. And there's nobody here. The children need us. There's nobody here. We as God's children should feel ashamed. We're put on this earth to pleasure Him. We're put on this earth to serve a God, to serve our risen God. We just learned today, to serve the one that died for you and for me. And if we aren't doing that, we need to get right with God, don't we? Remember how you felt when you first came to God? Remember that fire inside you couldn't wait to tell somebody. Remember how you felt when it was just that clean, that, like a buddy of mine heard, "I feel different," with tears in her eyes. Keep over in Matthew. Let's turn to chapter 25. This is the bread and butter of the message right here, so please listen carefully. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory." Thank you, God. "All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats will be on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, you gave Me drink. And I was a stranger, you took Me in. I was naked, you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to see Me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you thirsty, or give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king, my king, your king, will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of My brethren, you did to Me.'" That is scary, ain't it? How many times does a friend or a neighbor need help? A co-worker. How many times has your church needed help? When you say no, you're saying no to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying jump into everything that goes on, especially in the church. I'm saying when the church needs your help, you should, first thing on your mind should be, "Let me go home and pray. If God wants me to do it, I'm coming back." Leave it open. Wait till I come back. But be prepared that if I say no, then it's not God's will. But listen carefully, because He will tell you. Think about it. He gives each and every one of us a gift. When you pull those gifts together, we're a family. And sheep makes sheep, not to pastors. So when we do what God calls us to do, we pleasure Him. Can you imagine seeing Jesus' smile from ear to ear? "Then He will say to those on His left hand, 'Depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take Me in. Naked, you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit Me.' Then they will answer Him, saying, 'Lord.'" Boy, ain't that kind of something? Now they're calling Him Lord. Now they're saying Lord. I bet you they're shaking in their shoes. You think so? I don't know if they can urinate, but I bet you they're urinating all over the place. "Then He will answer them, saying, 'Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do to Me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." I don't know about you, but that kind of shakes me up. Got to get on fire. Woo! God says, check this out. All you got to do is just take the gifts I've given you. If you use them, I'm going to give you more. Doesn't it swell your heart when you help people, knowing that God puts you in that position to help that person And you walk away and you're on cloud nine. I'll tell you what, if you're on cloud nine, God's on cloud 10. There's 4,500 people that are added to the Ohio prisons each day, each month, 4,500 each month to the Ohio prisons. When I was in jail, you did not visit me. There are more than 2.2 million inmates in the nation's jail today. The percent of the elderly since 1995 has grown by 11 times. When I was sick, you did not visit me. Only three other countries in the developed world have a higher child poverty rate than we do. Only three. Mexico, Chile, and Turkey. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I've estimated that there's 1,406,000 people that are sick each and every day. 1,406,000 people that are sick each and every day. And half of those are sick all alone. In care centers and hospitals are members. And when I was sick, you didn't visit me. I heard a lady tell, I heard from another lady to about another lady that says not a single member of the church has come visit me. When I was sick, you didn't visit me. How many hospitals are full of sick, lonely people? How many care centers that you can take a half hour on a Monday or 20 minutes on a Tuesday or maybe on your way home and just stop and walk into a room and say, I'm so-and-so, I just want to see how you're doing. You're allowed. How many hospitals? People are having surgeries or they're dying. And they're dying alone. But worst case, they're dying without Jesus Christ. Guys, that should put tears in your eyes because these people are going to hell and we're not holding them back. If you've seen a blind guy, sorry, Rodney, you're going to do it again, buddy. With the earphones on, he's getting ready to walk over a cliff. Would you stop him? There's people walking over cliffs each and every day. I'm telling you something. If you feed somebody, they're going to hear what you have to say. If you visit them and listen, they're going to hear what you have to say. Sometimes you don't have to say nothing at all. Sometimes just the act alone is going to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. Guys, we aren't doing it today. The Greek word to visit means, this is Greek now, to look upon, to look after, to inspect, to examine with your eyes in order to see how she or he is. To look upon in order to help or to benefit, to act upon with concern. That's the Greek word for visit. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees did none of these today. Who do you know today that's a scribe or a Pharisee? Who do you know today that can be visited, whether they're sick or in prison? How about they need food? How about they need Jesus Christ? Who do you know today that needs to look in a mirror and re-examine their Christian life? That maybe pretend to be holy, or maybe pretend to care, or maybe pretend to be a child of God. You see, God loves each and every one of us here. He hasn't stopped. Just because he died, his love has gotten greater. How many times have you prayed to God and your prayers have been answered? Or, thank God, how many times you prayed to God and they were not answered? My brothers and sisters, I'm getting ready to close, but let me say something, please. We are not human beings that have an occasional spiritual experience. Let me say it again. You're not a human being that has an occasional spiritual experience. You are a spirit being that has a temporary human experience. We're all spiritual beings, guys, and we're here on a temporary basis, and you have a temporary experience of what it's like to be a human. Who do you know today that pretends? If there's anybody here today, please, guys, don't let embarrassment stop you. That's awesome, because when I get up there, I don't hurt at all. I can almost dance. Please, guys, you don't know when's your last day. Are you really right with God? Guys, I mean, if you're not 100% assured, without a doubt, like Pastor Paul used to say, I know that I am that I am that I am. If you're not 100% assured that you're going to go to heaven, don't you think today's the day? If you are, maybe we all need to examine our lives, do we not? There's nobody here that's righteous, not one. That's what my word says. Maybe we need to examine our lives today and just kneel before God and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I do want to do better. I want to fill these seats up, but more importantly, I want to fill up the kingdom of heaven. Will you please stand? I don't know if he's going to play any music or not, but you don't have to wait till the music starts. If there's something in your life that you want to make amends for, if there's something in your life that you want to get just a little better, if there's something in your life that you want to say, you know what, I can't be like that no more. I'm not a scribe. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm a child of God. Please come up here and tell it to him. What better person to talk to?